I'm Margaret Feinberg, and this is the Joycast. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Joycast, the happiest half hour of your week. As always, I'm your host, Margaret Feinberg, and I just discovered my new favorite recipe. It just has three ingredients: romaine lettuce, bacon crumbles, and copper kettle Parmesan cheese from Costco. I take a head of romaine lettuce and slice it in half. Then I shred the Parmesan cheese on top. Meanwhile, I take a pan and I heat a handful of those bacon crumbles in the pan for 1 to 2 minutes until they're sizzling and start to pop. Then I pour those hot bacon crumbles over that shredded cheese on top of the lettuce. It is melt your face good. Now, you can always take it to the next level by adding a few slices of tomato, a little avocado, and of course, your favorite dressing. No wonder I gained 15 pounds writing my latest book and Bible study, Taste and See: Discovering God Among Butchers, Bakers, and Fresh Food Makers. When I think about moments that bring me joy in life, I can't help but think about listening to a great story, the one that warms the heart or surprises and delights or leaves you teary-eyed. Telling and listening to captivating stories around a table is one of the greatest joys of life. But have you ever thought about the types of stories that are the most memorable, the most powerful, the ones that stick to your soul, the ones that call you to become a better person? And how do you become someone who tells those kinds of stories? That's why I'm so excited to introduce my friend, Jonathan Merritt, to you. Not only is he America's premier religion writer, whose work has appeared everywhere from the New York Times to USA Today to the Washington Post to the Atlantic, but he's also author of a number of books, including the award-winning Learning to Speak God from Scratch: Why Sacred Words Are Vanishing and How We Can Revive Them. Now, on July 15th through 17th of 2019, we are going to host Write Brilliant Live in Houston, Texas, together. This is a two-day workshop to help you realize your writing dreams, and you can learn more about it and some of our incredibly special guests at writebrilliant.com. But in the meantime, we want to equip you to become a better storyteller, no matter what table you find yourself around. So pull up a chair. You don't want to miss this insightful and delightful conversation. Jonathan, it is such a thrill to have you on the Joycast.
Well, it's my pleasure. I've had all these fun guests that you've been interviewing, and I'm finally getting my turn to Woo-hoo! Hang out with you on the Joycast. So thanks for having me on.
And we have had a friendship that goes back so many years. And part of the reason that I was thrilled to have you on today is because you are just such a gifted storyteller. The way you write, your gift with words, the way that you can spin a story, it can leave us teary-eyed, heartbroken, laughing until tears run down our cheeks in other places.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's one of the skills that I've really tried to craft as a writer, because I just think story is so important to communication. So that means a lot to me to hear you say that.
And some of the listeners may be curious just about our story. I mean, we've had a friendship now for a bunch of years, and I know you've told this story before of just how we met, because it was a little bit unusual and offbeat.
Yes, to say the least, actually. I had read a book of yours a few years ago now. I guess it was about 2007, and it had just hit me between the eyes and really met me where I was. And I thought, I feel like this person has wisdom beyond her years that she could share with a young guy like me who wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a writer. You were a writer, and you were the kind of writer I wanted to be. And so I looked up your website and contacted you and said, hey, it looks like you and your husband, Leif, are going to be at the Catalyst Conference outside Atlanta, and would you let me take you to breakfast? And for some reason, you didn't think this guy is a creepy stalker and I need to put him on the blacklist. Instead, you said, yeah, that's great. I'll let you take me to breakfast. And I was just, I was so overjoyed, drove from North Carolina, where I was in graduate school at the time, down to Atlanta and picked you up and said, hey, I drove 5 hours to have breakfast with you. Thanks for doing this. And sat down with you and with Leif with a list of questions, with an early book proposal that I had at the time, just to get all the wisdom that I could soak up about the craft of writing, the business of publishing, what it looks like to live the writing life. And you shared with me so generously for over an hour. And I think that sort of sparked the beginning of our relationship. I think the thing that put the chocolate-covered cherry on top was when I dropped you back off at the Catalyst Conference, and I'd gotten a Godiva chocolate gift basket, and I took it to the front desk at your hotel and said, would you please take this up to her room? And as a thank you for meeting with me. And I think that's that. I think as we've looked back, you've said this to me before, that's when you realize that I had what it took to become a writer. And it's not just skill. It's not just talent. It's not just being the best writer in the room. It's not just having a degree in English or literature, which I don't have. It's just being a rock solid, hard worker. And I think you saw, okay, here's a guy who might just have what it takes.
It was all of it. I remember thinking, you drove 5 hours? Oh my goodness. And then I don't think it was just an hour. I think it went on for two or three. And your questions were so sharp and they were so smart. And then, you know, I remember Leif and I walked away and went, God, wow, that guy really has something. And then when, of course, the Godiva arrived, I was like, done, sold. and since then, I mean, for many years, you know, just kind of poured into the knowledge that I had and then watched you just grow into one of the nation's premier religion writers. I mean, today you write for everybody from The Atlantic. You've been published in The New York Times, Washington Post, every outlet that I can think of under the sun. And in many of those outlets, you are telling stories and you're doing it in the most beautiful way. And I think this is important because as we all gather around the table to taste and see God's goodness, one of the things that is just a part of the table is really great stories. I mean, when we hear a great story, it lights up our imagination, it connects our hearts, it helps us realize how much life that we are living together. It allows us to enter into that space where we know and are known, where we love and are loved, where we can be vulnerable and any sense of shame scurries away. And so I'm curious, as a writer and as a master storyteller, what are some of the tricks that you have or tips you have for someone who says, you know what, I want to tell better stories in life and when I'm gathered around a table?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, if you think about the last story that, or the last time you had dinner with your family or you gathered with your girlfriends or your buddies, stories form kind of the central components of what you remember. They stick to us. They haunt us and thrill us. And so the same is true, by the way, with any kind of communal event. When you write, when you blog, when you put something out in the world, it's the same as when you gather around with a group of three or four of your five closest friends for kind of a home cooked meal. Stories are kind of the center of our connectivity as human beings. And I think one of the hardest things for me is not just to find someone, to encounter someone who doesn't know how to tell a story. It's somebody who tells too much of a story. It just goes on and on and on and on. I think that the best way to tell a story is to tell it with its essential elements, with its best elements, with its most thrilling and relevant elements. And one of the ways to do that is to, and we teach this a lot to people who come to us for writing advice, is to start with the action. What is it you're really getting at? Most people, they don't start with action. They start with setting. They say, oh, you know, I was 4 years old. And, you know, when I was 4 years old, I was just this little kid. I was about 3 feet tall. And it was 1972 in Baltimore, and this is what was happening in Baltimore. And by the time they actually get to the thing that they were trying to tell you, to the thing you care about, you're sort of glazed over and tuned out. And so you could give it in kind of a cliche to say, get to the point, but actually start with the point. Start by telling people what it is you want to tell them. And you'll find that if you begin with the crux of a story when you're trying to tell it, oftentimes you're never going to go back and tell them all of that useless stuff that you might have told them to begin with where they would have checked out. You're going to stay focused on that story. And a good story isn't boring. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I read my favorite book when I was a kid. My favorite story was Matilda, which is a great book by Roald Dahl, who's a fantastic children's author, one of my favorite. I read that book 8 to 10 times, cover to cover. I mean, my copy of that book was just this tattered little booklet. And one of the things that told me was there's something about a good story that just keeps us hooked, that keeps us coming back for more. I mean, you remember, people went to see those Harry Potter movies even though they knew exactly how it would end. I mean, talk about the ultimate exercise in spoiler alerts. But it was because it was a great story, and great stories have a way of captivating us. And so if you tell it the right way, your stories have a way of breathing new life into other people, of connecting you to people that maybe are not similar to you at all, that can bind you and form new relationships, new friendships, strengthen old relationships. And so the power of story, if told well, I think stories are just so powerful around the table and can really bind us together as human beings.
And I think that's one thing and one reason that we're so passionate about great storytelling at the Write Brilliant Academy, the online course, as well as sometimes the live events that we have, is the sense of we want people to tell the stories of what God has been doing in their lives, of the moments of transformation. I'm curious, just from your perspective, which stories or are there types of stories that tend to be the most memorable, the most impactful, the ones that stick to the soul, the ones that call us and invite us and usher into becoming a better person ourselves?
Yes, and that's a fantastic question. I think there are some kind of meta stories that are out there, because whenever somebody comes to me, when writers come to me and they say, I know I've got a book inside me, but I don't know what it is, I always start by saying, tell me the story you've been living. And you know, you and I share this. We do not believe that stories are incidental or accidental. And so the story that you have been living is a story that God has been knitting together, that God has been co-authoring alongside you, that God wants to tell through you. And so the story you have to share is the story that you have been living. Well, what kind of stories are those typically? There are a lot of different kinds. There's the reluctant hero story. I mean, all of us have a story like that in our lives. We say, well, there was this thing that I didn't want to do, and I ended up, for one reason or another, doing it anyway. For us, actually, you know, we even are in business together, because Write Brilliant is like a business endeavor for us. We didn't want to do that. We didn't wake up one day and say we want to be writing coaches, but people kept asking us to help them. And so we finally stepped up and decided we were going to do it. We were going to help people because there was a need there and we had a skill set. That's a reluctant hero story. There's stories of loss and redemption stories. I think these are great stories. You had something great and you lost it. And then it came back and it was bigger, better, more powerful. It was more beautiful than ever before. We've heard stories of this. I was actually coaching an author in Manhattan yesterday. And she told a beautiful story. She was married to a very famous minister, one of the most famous ministers 20 years ago in America. And he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she wanted to shepherd him home. And even when he died, he died in her arms. And she said, I felt it was such a joy to breathe him out. And we just clapped. We clapped to celebrate his life, to celebrate he died well. And she thought that was it for her. She had lost this thing, the love of her life. And actually, a man came into her life who was one of her ex-husband's classmates in seminary. And they fell in love. These two men, they served together in church together. They graduated from Harvard Div together. She fell in love with him. And now she has this amazing life with this new man. That's a story of loss and redemption. The underdog story is a great story. How many people love to root for underdogs?
I'm all about the underdog. I mean, there is no movie. You can show me 50 underdog movies and I'm like, sign me up for 51.
That's right. The time when someone came and they beat, you know, I think in some ways, Fight Back with Joy is one of those underdog stories. An insurmountable enemy, and through you, little Margaret, with her pixie haircut and her handful of red balloons, beats this thing, this massive illness. Wow, what an underdog story. That's why it resonated with so many people. I think epiphany stories, I tell a lot of those. You go off, you study something, and you come to know something. God just, the blinders fall off your eyes. There's origin stories. Who are you really? Where did you come from? And what are the forces that shaped you in the person you are today? And then there are rags to riches stories. I mean, we all know these, right? I mean, Cinderella is the ultimate. How many little girls and even little boys did not fall in love with that story? Because it's just the story of this meager girl that turns into royalty, that rags to riches stories. I think what I've learned is that at the heart of all of these meta stories and motifs is change, is transformation. And we've talked a lot to the people that we've coached about this over the years. If there's one type of story worth telling, it's a story of transformation. So I would tell people listening to this who go, I don't know, what are the stories in my life that are epic, that are worth sharing around a table or standing in front of a crowd? I would say, where are those areas where something happened to you and it touched you and it changed you and it transformed you, and the person after that moment was different than the person before that moment occurred? Those are the stories that are worth telling.
And that's part of the reason that you and I are having a Right Brilliant live event in Houston, July 15th through 17th, 2019, is because we want to see people's stories told in such a way that transforms lives. I know that you and I both believe that words can change the world. And when a story is well told, when a story is true, when a story is transformative, it can impact life after life, generation after generation. And I think that's one of the many elements that makes Right Brilliant just an incredible event. I know the ones that we've held in the past, they sell out very quickly. I'm curious, from your perspective, what you hope people would get out of attending an event like Right Brilliant.
I'll tell you the thing. This is what I and talk about a story of transformation. It's like story within a story. I love people. I love to see people come to us and say, I've got a story. I've lived life and I know there's something in the story that I've been living that other people could benefit from. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know how to get that out, but I know you guys can help me. And they spend a couple days with us and we see them come alive. We see their eyes light up. We see this person that came in and they weren't really confident. They didn't know if they should be there. They didn't feel like they belonged in the room. And they walk out and they've got their story and they're ready to tell it to the world. And I love to see that kind of transformation in people when people find that they have something worth sharing. And then, of course, we get stories back all the time. You know, we've had students go on and write New York Times bestsellers, have written memoirs that have just radically changed conversations, that have shown up in the New York Times. And when those people come back to us and say, I have been inundated from people on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and email who've come to me and said, thank you for sharing your story. I often tell people, Margaret and I, we're midwives. We get to come and help people birth these beautiful stories and gift them to the world and see change. And I just think, what an honor that is, that we get to do that through events like this.
I think part of the magic of us working together is, A, we have very different perspectives on a wide spectrum of issues.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
Like, we love each other deeply, but could not disagree on some things more That's profoundly.
Right. That's
Let
right.
me be clear. Mm-hmm. And yet, it is part of that difference that I think makes the magic and is what people experience when they come to a Right Brilliant Live. I know for me, you know, I've really specialized in the Christian market, in writing, in speaking, in publishing, you know, managing everything from Bible projects to ghostwriting to, you know, speaking at the largest, some of the largest conferences that in Christendom. At the same time, having you, who is so incredibly established in a mainstream audience, who, you know, can reach out to the Washington Post, your editor at the Atlantic, to so many of the mainstream outlets and know what they're looking for. And so I think that whether somebody is looking and saying, you know, my message, I really want to reach a Christian audience, or somebody is coming and saying, I want to reach a mainstream audience, that between us, we have the wealth of knowledge in order to direct and to help lead and to guide and offer wisdom to reach the widest audience. Because at the end of the day, you know, we believe that anyone can become a writer if they learn to craft spectacular prose for a specific person while building a sustainable platform. Mm-hmm. And so if we can teach you how to do those things, to develop a foundation where you know who you're writing for, you know your tonal adjectives, you know what you sound like, you know what your big idea is, you know how to tell a story in a compelling way without all the extras and the boring parts, kind of like what you spoke about earlier, Jonathan, that you're going to start telling stories that are going to transform lives. I mean, I know in my own life, I know you've received these, you know, letters from people who say, literally, my life is different because of you writing this book. I got a letter recently from someone, and it really touched me deeply. It was a daughter, and she said, when my mother passed away, your book, Sacred Echo, was on her nightshelf. And I opened it up, and I could see everything she had highlighted and everything she underlined. And it spoke to me not just because of the content of the book, but I felt like I was still having a conversation with my beloved mom.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the stuff. What else would you spend your life on?
You know, and there are so many people, I can tell you, they hear you tell that story and something stirs in them, because they know that they have a story that's powerful enough to change lives too. And what I really feel like, it's the thing that I like live and breathe for now, is helping people to listen to that nudge, to that urge, and to do something about it. Because one of the saddest things in the world to me is to think about all the stories that haven't been told, that should have been told. Because that is testament to all of the transformation that should have happened, that could have happened, that didn't happen. And so there's so many people out there who are walking around holding on to stories that the world needs. And I really hope that people can come and they can find events like ours. They can come and learn how to release those things into the world and really see them make a difference.
Because it matters. I mean, us keeping our story bound prevents other people from walking in freedom. And it is powerful and it is transformative when you learn to tell your story. And one of the things I love about Right Brilliant Live is when you come, we literally teach you step by step everything you need to know in order to tell your story, to build a social media presence, to develop your book proposal. So at the end, you have a plan. And the best part is rather than go online and cut and paste, you know, different ideas from 50 different sources and try to patchwork quilt together a plan, we lay one out for you that is proven time and time again. I know you and I have put together over 10,000 hours working together and developing this philosophy about writing and what it looks like to get published and to tell a stunning story that transforms lives.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right.
And so we hope that if you are interested in learning more about the Write Brilliant event, again, we don't host them very often, but there is one this July 15th, through 17th, 2019. We have some pretty spectacular special guests. And if you want to check it out, go to writebrilliant.com/Houston. And we hope that you'll check it out. And if it's a good fit for you, that we'll see you there. We are pretty confident it's going to sell out. So if you want your spot, grab it fast. Now, Jonathan, one of the things that I love to ask on the Joycast, and we ask it of every guest, is for your favorite recipe. Because we all know food is fun, and it's even funner when you share it around the table. So what's a recipe you love to make?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm a little bit bitter, but I'm also, I feel like it's a good thing that I get to share this, because I'm going to share skillet lemon chicken. And I'll tell you why I'm bitter, because some friends of ours, you and I and some friends of ours went on a vacation not too long ago, and everybody was supposed to make a meal. And I chose my skillet lemon chicken, and I never got to cook it because everybody else decided they wanted the seafood. And so one day, Margaret, you're going to get to try this. One day, that chicken, we had to give it away when we left. One day, you're going to get to try it. You're going to realize how great it is. But let me tell you, for everybody listen to this, I encountered this recipe from one of my favorite purveyors of recipes, Ina Garten, the patron saint of gluttony. And I eat everything that she, if she says this is a good recipe, I make it. It's an easy recipe. There's only 25 minutes of active time. You put everything in one skillet. You cut up lemons in the bottom, put the chicken in there. You do salt, pepper, thyme, fennel seeds, olive oil, the whole nine yards. You cook it for about 45 minutes. Then you pull it out and you put some dry white wine. She suggests a Pinot Grigio. I say, if you wouldn't drink it, don't cook with it. So a decent dry white wine, put that in the skillet, put it back in there, give it another 15 minutes. I always do chicken with skin on it because it gets kind of crispy. I love that. I love like the crispy skin on the chicken. And then it's just kind of, it's got the oil and the wine that's reduced down and the lemon juice that kind of cuts through it all. Let me tell you, every time you make this, somebody comes in your house and they eat this, they are going to think you are like that. You've been like holding back. Like you're like, where did this chef come from? It's amazing. It's easy. It's a crowd pleaser. I'm telling you, this recipe is a win every time.
And one day, Jonathan, we will eat that lemon chicken together.
Yes, we will.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It has been a delight to have you on the Joycast today.
Oh, my pleasure as always.
What is Write Brilliant Live in Houston, Texas, coming this July 15th through 17th, 2019? Well, we firmly believe that anyone can become a writer if they learn to craft spectacular prose for a specific person while building a sustainable platform. In other words, Write Brilliant can help you realize your writing dreams. Whether you're a novice or a veteran, Write Brilliant Live is designed for anyone who is serious about writing, publishing, and building an audience. This conference is hosted by Ecclesia at their West Side campus, and the space is limited. At Write Brilliant Live, you're going to learn how to craft stunning prose that will set you apart from the masses. Identify your best story, your strongest content, and where your message resonates. Network and collaborate with others. You're going to learn how to propel yourself ahead of the pack through self or traditional publishing. You're also going to watch a master writing coach transform an essay into pure magic in fewer than 4 minutes. And you're going to learn how to capture editors' attention and see your writing published. We will help you develop the skills you need to thrive, the ones writing coaches seldom discuss. This gathering is designed for those committed to honing the craft of writing. You don't need to be a full-time writer, have a large platform, or be previously published to attend. But space is limited. To grab your spot, if it's still available, go to www.writebrilliant.com/Houston. We will look forward to seeing you there.